Good day, everyone, and welcome to the SEIA and Vote Solar Conference. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the conference over to Ron Resch. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Can everybody on the call hear me okay? Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us this morning to talk about a new report that we're putting out called Solar Leases, the top commercial solar customers in the United States. If you don't have a copy, I encourage you to grab one in the back of the room. This is a new report for the industry, and we wanted to do it for several different reasons. I think, first of all, we have a lot of reporters who cover what's happening in the manufacturing sector. We've had a difficult year, and there's a lot of competition, and a lot of companies are struggling, but prices are coming down, so it's a good news story for the industry. And then we have a lot of analysis that comes out about what's happening in the market in the sense of how it's growing. And earlier this week, we released a report, a second quarter report of the Solar Market Insights that showed growth in the second quarter. It was pretty outstanding. We installed 774 megawatts in the United States just in the second quarter, which is 116% growth over where we were last year. But what's missing, ultimately, from the picture of what's going on in the industry is end users, the customers. Who's actually buying the solar? Who's installing it? And we've had, you know, kind of individual snapshots about projects here and press releases there, but this is, I think, the first time that anybody really put together a report that looks at the biggest users of solar in this country. And when we started this project with Vote Solar earlier this year, we thought it was really important to tell the public what's going on and the kinds of companies that are involved with solar. Because these aren't companies who are kind of one-off projects. These aren't companies who are kind of considered just on the fringe or green companies. These are companies who are really the icons of American business. These are the companies who, they don't repeat mistakes. They repeat successes. And what you see from these companies are literally hundreds and hundreds of installations that are being put in place. When you go through the list, Walmart, Costco, Kohl's, IKEA, Macy's, McGraw-Hill, Johnson & Johnson, GM, Staples, Campbell's, Walgreens, the list goes on and on. And collectively, you look at these companies and you realize they really occupy almost every sector of our economy for our citizens. They're providing food, they're providing transportation, they're providing clothing. They're providing so much of the retail goods that we need in America. And they realize that solar is a good investment. And it's not just that it's a clean source of energy, but it's a smart investment for their shareholders as well. And I think when this report gets out, when people realize how mainstream solar has become, because these companies, not only have done it once, they've done it literally hundreds of times, people will have a very different perspective of the solar energy industry today, and frankly, who is embracing solar going forward. Just a couple of very brief statistics, then I want to turn it over to Adam. It's interesting, there are about 3,200 utilities in this country. These companies on this list produce more solar electricity than 3,160 of those utilities. So this shows that these companies are way ahead of the energy producers, the typical energy producers in this country. And they're doing so because it makes good economic sense, because it improves the energy security of their facilities, because it's a smart, clean thing to do for their customers and for their shareholders. And they're doing so, they're saving money. Over the lifetime of the systems these companies have installed, they're going to save, or they're going to generate enough electricity that's equivalent to $1.25 billion. Just the solar systems they have installed right now will generate $1.25 billion worth of electricity over the lifetime of these systems. So incredible investments that are being made and cumulatively having a huge impact. And I think the other piece of it that's so important that I know Rob will talk about and so many of the other companies feel is important is the job creation. And we're really tapping into the vast domestic energy sources that we have in this country when we go solar. And these companies are doing their part for energy independence and energy security by putting solar on their roofs. Now, they may be doing so for smart financial reasons, but they're also making a very important energy independence as a country. And by doing so, they're creating jobs. They're creating good quality local jobs for their installers, for the building operators, for manufacturers, for everybody, the entire industry that is the solar industry today. And so when you step back and think of, ultimately, what is the story that needs to be written here? The story really is about these companies who are the leaders in stepping up and using solar on their facilities. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Adam Brown. Adam is the Executive Director of the Go Solar Mission. Adam.
Thanks, Rob. So I run an organization called the Go Solar Initiative, a nonprofit that works through our motto is we're trying to bring solar energy into the mainstream. And from the look of this report today, it looks like I might need to start looking for a new job because this is about as mainstream as it gets. If you look at the three of these iconic American companies, you realize that this is just across the country, and it's in hundreds of stores, and millions of Americans are shopping in solar power stores and probably don't even know it right now. I'm going to just cite a few statistics for special mention. Walmart leads this group with solar on 144 of their properties across the country. Walgreens, I've got my toothpaste right behind us, that 134 solar installations. And Kohl's, a great department store, 124. That's a lot of stores that have really gone all in for solar. Like you can metric in other ways, IKEA, 79% of their stores in this country have solar, and they have plans to keep on going until it's basically all done. And that's across 16 states, which is really quite widespread. But I do want to just make another point, which is, again, that a lot of solar, and most people don't even really know, and that is what the solar power future looks like. And you get the same power quality, you get the same energy benefits, and even better. And you don't have the pollution, you don't have the emissions. Everything's just a little bit brighter as we go forward. I just want to just ask people to wait for this list next year. I predict that it will look a lot different. As many companies that have already gone in, we know that there are tons of installations that are in process and ready to be switched on. We predict some shakeups on the next iteration, which will be a lot more of the iconic American brands. With that, I'll turn it over to our guest for
So I'll just introduce Rob. Rob Bruckel is the manager of renewable energy at General Motors. I'm very honored to have Rob and General Motors here, one of the leaders certainly on the list that you can see, and doing an incredible job of combining clean energy with transportation, both with solar and electric vehicles and so many other programs. So Rob, we're very honored to have you.
Thank you, Ron. Hello, and thank you. My name is Rob Bruckel. I'm General Motors, Global Manager for Renewable Energy, and very excited to be part of today's press release announcement. As you just heard Ruby mention, in the same breath as other renewable energy stalwarts as Walmart, Kohl's, and IKEA, of which I am a Kohl's shopper as well, and buy a lot of my kids' clothes. We could be more honored. At GM, we've been harnessing solar and other renewable resources and alternative energy. In fact, 2.1% of all our energy consumed by our facilities in North America, or actually in the U.S., is powered by renewable energy. By 2020, our goal is to promote the use of 125 megawatts on a global basis across our whole manufacturing and non-manufacturing portfolio. From a solar perspective, we currently host roughly 30 megawatts at 7 manufacturing facilities with a plan to double that in the next 3 years. That's enough solar power to nearly power 10,000 homes in the United States for a year. Solar at General Motors didn't just start last week. It started years ago. We host two of the five largest rooftop installations in the world. Our Zaragoza Sustained Assembly Manufacturing Plant was the world's largest rooftop solar array until this year. In fact, just last week, we recently announced an 8.1 megawatt solar array at our Wittersheim, Germany manufacturing facility, which is equivalent to 32 soccer fields. Back in the States, though, we host an array at our distribution center, Ranger Cucamonga. Just to give you some history of how far back we went, we signed this power purchase agreement in 2005 and installed the array in 2006. And at the time, it was 1 megawatt, which is the largest rooftop array in the U.S. back in the early part of 2006. Today, it provides about 50% of the power for the storage. In Michigan, at our Detroit Hamtramck facility, the home of the Chevrolet Bolt, we host the largest ground mount system. It was the largest system in Michigan until IKEA put a roof mounted system on their facility there, but it is still the largest ground mount system at the Chevrolet Bolt, home for Chevrolet Bolt. This was built in coordination with DTE Energy, one of the local partners in Michigan, and has followed the renewable energy strategy, which we work closely with a lot of our large scale utility operators to really promote the use of renewable energy because we both have the same common agreements and strategies. We also recently announced, along with DC Energy, a solar array at our Lake Orion assembly plant put 350 megawatts on a ground mount system at the facility, harnessing energy from the sun. Traveling a little bit further south, we are putting a 1.8 megawatt rooftop array at our Toledo transmission plant, being one of the largest rooftop installations in Ohio when it's completed in November. In Maryland, at our Baltimore plant, there's a 1.2 megawatt solar array that provides nearly 6% of the power for large transmission plant operations. Finally, and as mentioned before, we're really trying to tie transportation with the electric vehicle. 9 of our facilities serve solar charging electric vehicle canopies on the ground, so the plan is to install 5 more this year. But not only are we looking at our facilities where we can promote and support our local communities, we have expanded this across our now entire Chevrolet dealership network with an offering for a way for customers to actually visualize solar with electric vehicles. So as you can see, solar is a big deal at GM. We're one of the leading users in the manufacturing space. In the coming months, we'll be announcing many more projects that will enhance our solar power offerings and reduce our environmental footprint. Once again, we are thrilled to be mentioned as the top automotive sector and user of solar power in this study, and we will continue to promote, design, build, and sell the world's best vehicles, keeping the environment in mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob. And we're now going to open it up to questions that people have in the audience and on the phone. So why don't we start by going to the phone, if we could. The operator, if you could please open up the line for questions.
Certainly. To ask a question via the telephone, please press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 for any phone questions. And we'll pause for a moment.
Don't be shy. Okay, while they're working through their shyness, we're going to open it up to the people here in this audience. Are there any questions that people have for the presentation? So good, you can answer all your questions. So this is a pretty amazing list. Unfortunately, people on the phone can't see the chart that we have up that shows all of the companies, but we'll make sure it's up on the website so you can see it. It's a very powerful image that shows the different companies, the installations that they have based in place. Yes?
So the ranking is the top 20.
If you could tell us your name.
No, sorry, Richard Rose, Solar Service. The ranking of the top 20 is by megawatts installed or value?
That's correct, yes, by megawatts installed. But as Adam pointed out, and certainly Rob pointed out, a lot of these companies are doing what they can, where they can, on rooftops, on the ground mount. What you'll see is, even Walgreens, relatively small rooftop footprint compared to some of the large assembly plants, is still, doing it in large scale by doing literally hundreds of stores. And so everybody, I think people on this list, what you see is a true commitment that they found that it's enough to go to solar, and they're reviewing that decision hundreds of times in their next facility and where they can install solar in their operation.
In your packet, it slices it different ways as well. You can see it's ranked by virtue of number of systems rather than megawatt capacity, as well as geographic diversity, number of states for people who have done it. So, leadership comes in many flavors that way. It's not just about size. That's why we gave a special shout out to IKEA, which is just not only high in the numbers, but they're comprehensive. They're just doing it everywhere they can.
But Rob, I'm sorry,
One more question. These are only facilities inside the United States.
That's correct. Brett, tell us about GM's experience in the sense of how did it first start and what were some of the challenges you initially faced and how did you overcome them?
I think a lot of it really first started going back to when we did some of our corporate sustainability reporting, as well as we were the first automotive manufacturer to do greenhouse gas reporting. But we've got landfill gas projects that go back to 1993, so it's been really instilled in our corporate leadership to support renewable energy. And as we saw the growth of solar, it just seemed like the next logical step from a distributed generation power standpoint to put solar on our rooftops, which is where we started to move in really 2005 as we looked at the power purchase agreement. As it came out, that seemed to be the way. We really don't want to invest our capital into solar per se because we're a capital-intensive product program, but a way to be able to still reduce our costs from electric and looking at hedging our future costs. With our landfill gas project, we saved about $100 million so far. And solar is kind of the next leap as we looked at natural gas to electricity as the next way to really hedge our savings going forward.
And you mentioned earlier, there's some places that I don't think people would typically think about solar. You know, Hamtramck and Germany and a few other places. So what you're telling me is the solar makes sense in a PPA at these facilities, even with lower solar installation than you experience in your California facilities?
Yeah, you know, one thing that, you know, I think as we look at General Motors and working across the board is we're a large consumer of electricity, very large consumer. And you look at territories, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, where our largest manufacturing footprint, we have the ability to work with utilities, really to share in the success. We've got renewable portfolio standards. They got requirements they need to meet. We've got corporate sustainability commitments that we got to meet, and we try to figure out a way to bridge those barriers and make a project successful. And to me, it's really a collaborative process. Whereas maybe a Kohl's and a Walmart that may go out for an RFP for, say, 50 stores in California, we're really trying to figure out how do we make it work in a more of an open book model in areas where you can't traditionally find solar.
I just loved how you mentioned that the Volt factory is,
yep,
got the solar system right there. And, you know, I see that modeled and I see that hopefully replicated as the people that buy the vehicle that's manufactured with solar will then power the vehicle,
yep,
with solar, and you end up with a virtuous cycle of solar all the way through its working life. So.
Absolutely. And I see, too, you know, ultimately, as you look at secondary use of batteries and things, there's some battery storage opportunities, I think, as you see here, it's starting in the infant stages, but, you know, there's some definite opportunity to look at demand-side management as well, and that's something we'll be looking at in the future, too.
Great opportunity for this industry, and ultimately storage is the biggest, add-on to solar and energy in general. Is there anyone on the phone who would like to ask a question?
Yes, we have a question from Gabriel Nelson.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I actually have two, if I'm allowed. I have one for Ron and one for Rob. For Ron, this is not a new development. It's been the case for a while, but it's large retail stores that dominate it. Can you sort of talk through a little bit why that is and how you hope to bring in some of the large industrials like GM, who we have right here? And for Rob, my question for you is, where do you see, you were talking about the potential for distributed generation. Where do you see the possibility of, as the company saw in the Volt Pioneer and an electric vehicle there, where do you see the possibility to maybe partner with companies to sell to customers maybe like an all-in-one kit? You know, you can have solar panels on your roof, you can have an electric car and your power and all your transportation yourself. I mean, what are you doing in that sort of idea? Do you have any thoughts on that? So those are two questions. Thanks.
I'll go ahead and answer the first question with respect to why you typically see, or should say this list consists of some large retail stores. In large part, it's because they control so much real estate in this country. They own literally hundreds, if not thousands, of buildings around the United States. And for those who operate these facilities, the rooftop is typically a liability. It keeps the equipment that deteriorates over time. They have to replace it every 15 years or so. And if there's a way that you can turn that liability into an asset, I'll describe it in a double way, then that is potentially a very smart investment. So for these facilities, when you add solar to the rooftop, they're making it in several forms. The first benefit that it's going to do is obviously protect the roof. It's going to protect it from ultraviolet rays or being absorbed or bounced off of the solar panels, and so you see less deterioration of the roof itself, so you get a longer lifespan on the roof. The second is that some of the installations actually include a layer of insulation underneath the solar panels themselves, so it provides additional energy benefit by both insulating and providing a more protective shell on the building, as well as being a generating source of electricity. But I think ultimately, you know, it came down to companies trying it because they looked at their energy prices and they saw where their electricity rates were going. And most of this did start in states with very high electricity rates, where these are large consumers of electricity, so pay some of the highest rates, like California. And they realized that economically it worked out. And when they partnered with solar companies who were developing PPAs 5 years ago or so, they quickly realized that this was a good thing to do from an image perspective, but it was even better to do from a financial perspective. And again, these companies have literally dozens or hundreds of stores, and they found that as the price of solar has come down and the PPAs have become more attractive, they've been able to employ this business model throughout the U.S. many of their facilities. So I think, you know, the thing I would ask everybody to do who's listening or in the room is, when you fly from Orlando back to where you're going, those first 5 minutes of the airplane ride, look out the window and just look down at all of the flat roof buildings that exist around the airport. These are storage facilities, these may be retail facilities, these are distribution centers, and you'll realize what a vast amount of land area is covered by buildings, and frankly, how much roof space there is available in buildings that are very similar to these large retail stores. And so, to kind of give you a long-winded answer to your question, I think the industrials have started to move in that direction. As Adam pointed out, I think you'll see this list continue to evolve next year and in future years with other companies that, again, own a lot of facilities, a lot of roof space, but maybe approaching this purely from a financial perspective. Rob, now I'll turn it over to you to answer that second part of the question.
Sure. To answer the second part of your question, I think right now we've focused primarily on our facilities and down to the dealership level. We have had discussions putting kind of an overall package together for electric vehicles slash even a traditional vehicle, if you've got a hybrid, to be able to engage it and finance it through a model similar to, say, an Ally or GM Financial. I think right now, as we try to understand the technology and really deploy electric vehicles, the focus we're going to have is really getting consumers understanding the electric vehicle infrastructure that's required, and then supporting at our dealerships and at our facilities kind of the solar aspects as part of the community outreach that's in our corporate sustainability report. Because a lot of our facilities are really located in states that traditionally don't have solar, and the consumers, one, don't really understand it, and two, even the electric vehicle is more of an East Coast, West Coast type of phenomenon right now as well. So really getting it and an understanding of where we've got large manufacturing facilities that are multi-millions of square feet with hundreds of acres available, opening our facilities up to the communities to allow them to understand what we're doing in manufacturing sustainability practices, and then understanding all the new technology, because it's not just going to stop with the Chevy Bolt as well. We've already announced the electric vehicle Spark and other future hybrid vehicles. You know, I think we're going to see a whole breadth of propulsion systems out there as we try to attain the fuel economy standards that are going to be required in the future here. So it really starts at the facilities down to the dealerships is where we're moving right now to get more direct contact with the consumer as they buy our products. And then I see probably movement into the residential side as some package as the whole industry evolves.
Great. Thank you.
And do you want to add to either Rob's thoughts or any of the other comments about what
retail is? I mean, the only thing I would add is, you know, whether or not it's sold as a package doesn't mean that a consumer can't, you know, buy it each separately. And it's, you know, as companies like GM see that solar adds to their value proposition, so will consumers end up seeing that when they buy a Bolt, then they're able to essentially never have to go to a gas station again, and they can just run their vehicle with the power of the sun forever. And all their gas will be delivered to them every day when the sun comes up in the morning for the rest of their lives. And that's a pretty powerful lifestyle enhancement. Turns out that doing the right thing doesn't mean that your life gets worse. It means your life gets better.
Well put.
Yeah, definitely good. Well put.
Yes,
yeah, so the question is these retailers, large retailers that have gone solar, helping their bottom line, but is it also helping their, they get a feel-good bounce with their customers? And I think that absolutely varies. Some of these stores are very upfront in talking about how they're solar powered. And others, you know, they're just quiet leaders. They're doing it really for more internal reasons, and they haven't yet capitalized on that that green bounce, that green perception. I definitely think that you know, if you look at our particular leaders, and you look at it like breweries, for example, I've just seen a lot of advertising about how I've seen a lot of beer companies that are going solar. And you know, for me, that's an appealing reason to choose one brand over another. And I think I'll just keep sampling.
Yeah.
Not yet. I haven't finished my research.
Are there additional questions on the phone?
Not at this time.
How about the audience? Okay. Well, with that, I would just like to thank Adam and Rob for taking the time to be here today. And again, Rob, I want to congratulate you and General Motors for the great work that you have done in deploying solar and being one of the top solar users in the United States today. And we look forward to working with you to expand that use. Both on your facilities and in the long run, some of the products that you're selling. So with that, thank you everybody for attending. We appreciate your time and have a great day. Just a quick announcement for those of you who want to go to the Clinton beach today, I encourage everybody to get in the queue early. The doors will open at 3, and so 3:30. And his remarks will start right at 4, so we're going to need people to get in quite quickly. But the queue will develop on but it's earlier than it would be there. So, yes.
That will conclude our conference call for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.